WMFO, Medford. Did that come through that? What is going on here? DJ Mixtash.
Next, Mr. Chameleon and the Perfect Maid murder case. Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters in his famous cases of crime and murder. Brought to you by the makers of genuine Bayer aspirin. Mr. Chameleon, as you know, is the famous and dreaded detective who frequently uses a disguise to track down a killer. A disguise which at all times is recognized by the audience. Tonight, we give you Mr. Chameleon in The Perfect Maid Murder Case. The scene opens in one of New York's most fabulous mansions, the home of Raymond Colby. And we see a young woman about to leave. Her hand is on the knob of the front door when she is interrupted by a maid whom we hear saying the words that lead to a gruesome, fantastic murder.
Excuse me, Miss Laura. Can I see you a moment before you go?
I haven't any time now, Fanny.
But this is important, Miss Laura. Terrible important.
Well, what is it then?
I want to give my notice, Mum.
Your notice? You mean you're leaving? Why, I thought you were a fixture in this house, Fanny.
But that's just it, Mum. I am a fixture here.
Then what's this talk about giving notice? What's wrong? If it's more wages...
Oh, it's not that, Mum. It's that...
Yes?
It's that I'm going to marry your father.
Your what?
Going to marry your father, that's what. Oh, well, it don't seem to set very well with you, but...
Are you completely and utterly mad? This is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, it is it? Well, let me tell you, I'm as good as you are.
Pack up your things and get out of this house as fast as you can.
I'm not packing, and I'm not leaving. I'm marrying into this house. Huh, just put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Get out instantly, I say.
I'm not going any further than my own room. You'll find me there if you want to be coming up later and telling me you're sorry. Ta-ta, dearie.
John! John, come here! John!
Don't shout, Laura. I heard it all. Great heavens, what a mess.
We can't let Father do this. He's gone mad. Ooh, that cheap, terrible creature.
I tell you, Laura, hysterics won't help. Besides, we don't want to wake the old man up and get him on our necks. We've got to think fast.
But what are we going to do? What can we do? This is too dreadful.
Listen, Laura, listen.
Yes?
You stay right here, Laura, and watch every door. Be as loud as you can if anybody comes.
You mean Father or that horrible Fanny?
Anybody. I've got the combination to Father's safe.
He's safe? What are you going to do, John?
I know he keeps his will there. That's the first thing to do. He may have changed it in Fanny's favor. If he did, I'll burn it up.
And sometime later, we hear the Commissioner of Police assigning another famous murder case to the astute and feared Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces and disguises.
Oh, here you are, Chameleon. A murder in Park Avenue.
Oh, top draw case, eh, Commissioner?
Well, that's for you to decide, old man. The murder occurred in the Raymond Colby house.
You mean the mysteriously rich Raymond Colby's been killed?
No, not Colby himself, Chameleon. A maid in his house. A girl named Fanny Bilkins. Throat slashed open. Better get out there.
Righto, Commissioner. I'll take Detective Dave Arnold with me. Yeah. Oh, here you are, Dave.
Yes, sir.
You come with me, please. Bye, Commissioner.
I suppose the case we're on is that parlor maid murder at Raymond Colby's house.
Yes, that's it, Dave.
I guess it'll be one of those jobs where the chauffeur killed some poor girl because he was in love with her and caught the butler getting away with her.
I've no idea, Dave. Let's get the car and buzz out there. Oh, personally, I'd be more interested if old Colby himself was the victim. I hear he's a queer character, the absent-minded professor type. He invented something somewhere that made him fabulously rich.
Here's the house, Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, with a very pretty girl already holding the door open. Come ahead.
Oh, I'm so glad you came. You are from the police, aren't you?
Yes, my name is Chameleon. This is Detective Arnold. And you are,
I'm Laura Colby. Come in, Mr. Chameleon.
Thank you.
I'm rather surprised to see you here.
Surprised, Miss Laura? Why?
We didn't expect to see such a famous detective as you on an unimportant case like this.
Murder is always important.
Judy O'Grady or the judge's lady? I see.
I understand the girl who was murdered was a housemaid in your father's house, Miss Laura. Do you know anything about her?
Practically nothing, Mr. Chameleon, except that she was a perfect maid, really marvelous, and that she had perfectly wonderful references when she came.
When was that?
Oh, I don't really remember. A couple of years ago. You know how those things are.
Who found her body? One of the other help in the house, I suppose.
No. As a matter of fact, my father did. He and my brother John, that is.
Yes?
Well, what actually happened was that one of the other servants, our cook, became annoyed when Fanny didn't turn up to serve breakfast this morning. She thought she'd overslept. But when she knocked on Fanny's door and she didn't answer, she became alarmed and called my... She became alarmed and called my father.
So he and your brother went up there?
And when they opened the door, they found her dead. Father was very much upset, and so was my brother.
Odd that the cook didn't open the door herself when she got no answer to her knock.
Why, I hadn't thought of that. Oh, but I'm sure the cook wouldn't have killed her just because Fanny overslept.
No, scarcely, Miss Laura. Dave?
Yes, Mr. Chameleon?
You go to the kitchen and talk to that cook. Find out what you can.
I'm sure cook can't tell you any more than I have, Mr. Chameleon.
One never knows, Miss Laura. She may be concealing something from you.
I'll talk to the cook now, Mr. Chameleon.
I know. In the meanwhile, Miss Laura, perhaps your father or your brother will take me up to see the murdered girl's body.
John's in the drawing room, Mr. Chameleon. This door here. Oh, John, this is Mr. Chameleon, the famous detective.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Chameleon? Horrible thing, isn't it? But one never knows what will happen with servants these days, does one?
What happened here, however, is a bit out of the usual run. Your sister says that you lead me to the murder room.
Well, of course, Mr. Chameleon. I don't like the job, but just follow me.
Thank you.
Here are the servants' stairs.
By the way, John, do you know anything about the murdered girl? I mean, do you ever notice anything strange about her? Signs of being afraid of something, upset, anything like that?
It's a funny thing, Mr. Chameleon. I never notice any servant particularly. To me, they're just faceless people. All I know is that my sister always said Fanny was the perfect maid. Laura's all in a dither. Says she'll never find another one like her. Oh, but here's her room.
Just about the size of a cell.
What?
Nothing. Poor girl. A horrible sight. Her head is almost severed.
If you're finished with me, Mr. Chameleon, I'd like to get out of here.
Oh, yes, I understand, John. I'm sorry. I forgot that we policemen are more accustomed to sights like this than people like you. Yes, you go back to the drawing room. I'll see you there presently.
Thank you, Mr. Chameleon.
Poor Fanny. Poor child. But if the dead can hear, you'll hear me promising to bring your murderer to the execution chamber.
Mr. Chameleon? Nothing from the cook except what Laura Colby already told us. But get this.
Yes, Dave?
Just as I was talking to the cook, the girl's father came in.
The murdered girl's father, Dave?
Uh-huh. A man named Ed Bilkins. He started accusing everybody of murder. He's pretty wild. I told him to stay put, but you'd talk to him.
Oh, poor devil.
What'll you get a load of him, Mr. Chameleon?
Hmm?
He looks like a bad customer to me. Not so sorry as he acts. But that don't mean I think he killed the girl.
Dave, you call the morgue and have this body picked up. And here is the knife that slashed her throat. You send it in for prints.
Okay, Mr. Chameleon.
And then hold the murdered girl's father down below. I want to talk to John Colby and his father first. Well, John, feeling a bit more steady now? Forgive me for bringing you back to the murder room.
It's all right, Mr. Chameleon. Took a drink and feel better. Well, this is my father, Raymond Colby. Father, this is Mr. Chameleon.
Huh? Mr. what? Didn't catch the name.
Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters, Mr. Colby.
Police headquarters, you say? John, what's a police officer doing here?
Investigating the murder of your maid, Fanny Bilkins, Mr. Colby.
Oh, to be sure. You know, things slip my memory, sir. And you say your name is...
Chameleon, Mr. Colby. Chameleon.
Unfortunate thing here, Mr. Canston.
Chameleon.
Oh, yes. Chameleon. Last thing I ever expected in my house, murder. Just one of the servants. They probably got herself into trouble. Queer lot, servants. Queer lot. Never know about them.
But still human, Mr. Colby. They sing and sigh, laugh and weep, feel happiness and sorrow just like you and me. Only probably suffer more.
Quite right. I didn't think policemen thought that way, though. Well, what can I do for you?
Tell me any little thing that you might know about the girl who was so inconsiderate as to be murdered in your quiet home. Why do you think, for instance, that she was killed?
I've no idea. Never paid any attention to her, no attention at all. My daughter Laura runs the house. You better ask her.
I did, and she told me just as little as you and your son John have, Mr. Colby. But I'll...
Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, Dave?
You'd better come downstairs and talk to the man I told you was here. He's got something for you, something plenty hot.
What man, Mr. Chameleon?
After I see him, I'll tell you, John.
He's going to tear this case wide open, John. Wide open.
Tear it open, Detective Arnold? That's ridiculous.
Never mind, son. I fancy it's someone of Fanny's own class, and that it'll all turn out that a grocer's clerk or delivery boy killed Fanny.
Perhaps, Mr. Colby. I'll see you later, Mr. Colby.
John, get Laura in here right away.
What for, Father?
If you don't manage to hold yourself in, you and Laura will find yourselves up on a murder charge. Our Mr. Chameleon's one of the most penetrating men I've ever met. Up to the time you revealed excitement, our story was going down perfectly. Now be careful, my boy, I beg of you. I don't want to see my children convicted of murder.
What did the murdered girl's father tell you, Dave, to make you think he'd break this case wide open?
You better hear it from his own lips, Mr. Chameleon.
Oh.
He's here in the butler's pantry.
Oh, all right, Dave.
Mr. Bilkins, here's Mr. Chameleon. Now tell him what you told me.
It's fair terrible I ever brought my innocent daughter to this country, Mr. Chameleon. That's how she was done in.
What do you mean, Mr. Bilkins, brought her to this country?
Didn't this here busy tell you, Mr. Chameleon?
Detective Arnold wanted me to hear the story direct from you, Bilkins. Now, let's have it, please.
Fanny and me come from Australia, where we should have stayed. And then she'd never have gone into service in this old duffer's house.
Well, I still don't know what you mean, Bilkins.
What I'm trying to drive home, sir, is that Fanny wouldn't have got herself engaged to marry the old man.
Do you mean to say that your daughter, Fanny, was going to marry Raymond Colby?
I'm not lying when I say it, Mr. Chameleon. I warned her proper about marrying out of her class. But Fanny had got American ideas into her head quick. Wouldn't listen to her father. And it all wound up in her being killed. Butchered like an animal.
Are you certain that your daughter was going to marry this fabulously rich man?
Look here. Here's your wedding license, Mr. Chameleon.
Uh-huh.
She gave it to me, saying Mr. Colby didn't want it round the house, fear his son or daughter might find it. But they must have caught on some other way, sir. And that's why they killed her.
Dave, this is astounding. This license is genuine. Fanny Bilkins, age 24, Raymond Colby, 56.
It's on the up, all right, Mr. Chameleon. I had it checked myself.
I'm taking the blame for Fanny's murder on myself, Mr. Chameleon. I'm her father. I should have given her a good thumping and made her leave this house. The likes of her thinking of marrying the likes of him. I always say that everyone stay in his own class.
Mr. Bilkins, come with me.
Where to, sir?
Upstairs to the drawing room, where I think we'll find Mr. Colby and his son, John.
Don't make me face him now, Mr. Chameleon. I can't face my daughter's dirty murderers. I can't do it, sir. I can't.
I understand, Bilkins. You wait here, then. Detective Arnold and I will go up alone.
You're a real gentleman, sir. Thank you. I'll never forget your kindness, sir.
Dave, come along.
If ever I saw one for the book, Mr. Chameleon, this is it.
If it's true, Dave, if it's true.
What? Well, don't you believe it? You saw the marriage license, didn't you?
Yes, indeed, Dave. and I also saw the shifty look in the bereaved Mr. Bilkins' eyes. If I were looking for a babysitter, and it wouldn't be Bilkins. Now, oh, here's the drawing room now. I expected to find your father and brother here.
They're in Father's study, Mr. Chameleon.
I've just talked to your murdered maid's father.
So they have fathers, too.
Just as you and I, Laura. But tell me.
Yes.
When was your father, Raymond Colby, going to marry Fanny Bilkins?
Oh, I didn't realize detectives on duty kidded people, Mr. Chameleon.
Then you didn't know?
Know what?
You know what. Answer the question.
If you expect me to answer a ridiculous question like that, Mr. Chameleon... Are you serious? Imagine Father marrying a housemaid. It's too silly.
That the door to the study, Laura?
Well, yes. I'll tell Father you want to see him.
Don't trouble, thank you. I'll go in alone. And you stay here. I hope I'm not interrupting, Mr. Colby. Oh. I see you have your safe open. Something lost?
Father has an idea he misplaced his will, Mr. Chameleon.
I'm on the forgetful side, Mr. Chameleon. I'll find it later.
Why not look in the fireplace, Mr. Colby? Wait a second.
In the fireplace, Mr. Chameleon?
Yes, John. Yes, here is what is left of your father's will. All but the top burned away, though. Do you mind telling me why you tried to destroy it, John?
My son didn't, Mr. Chameleon. Probably did it myself. I do such utterly stupid things without thinking.
Like arranging to marry your housemaid, Mr. Colby?
What is this, Mr. Chameleon? Father planning to marry that...
That murdered girl, John. Murdered.
Oh, Mr. Chameleon, what in heaven's name gives you the idea Father was going to marry her?
Marriage license, John.
Marriage license?
John, I told you before that Mr. Chameleon was a very penetrating man. Trying to deceive him would be unfair to him and us.
Then you were going to marry her, Mr. Colby?
Oh, no. Not at all, Mr. Chameleon. I really don't know why I took out that marriage license.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't done simply to keep a perfect maid. Come, Mr. Colby, don't you think it's time to stop trying to protect your children?
Why should he try to protect Laura and me, Mr. Chameleon? We didn't kill that girl.
In my entire experience, I've never met with a clearer motive for murder. Never. Dave?
Right here, Mr. Chameleon.
Oh.
What do we do, arrest John and Laura?
No, not now, Dave. Bring the murdered girl's father in here immediately, and then we'll...
That's what I came up here to tell you, Mr. Chameleon. Bilkins slipped out of the house while I went into the kitchen to get a drink of water.
What?
I sent out a general alarm for him.
Have this house guarded, Dave. And get this straight, Mr. Colby. If either your son or daughter attempts to leave here, they'll be taken in on suspicion of willful murder.
Mr. Chameleon and the Perfect Maid murder case continues in just a moment. When you have a cold, you need Bayer aspirin. Need it because it's important to you that you get quick relief from the headachy, feverish feeling and the muscular aches and pains that almost always accompany a cold. And because Bayer aspirin gives you this important relief, it should be taken at the first sign of a cold before you do anything else. Regardless of what you do to stop or shorten a cold, we believe your own doctor will tell you that this is sound advice. And it's advice you can follow with confidence, for Bayer aspirin is used by millions to treat these distressing symptoms. It provides amazingly fast relief, makes you feel better, because it's ready to go to work in 2 seconds. And its single active ingredient is so gentle to the system that doctors prescribe it even for small children. That's why it's been used by millions of normal people without ill effect. So at the first sign of a cold, before you do anything else, take Bayer aspirin. When you buy, ask for Bayer aspirin, not just for aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the Perfect Maid murder case. Fanny Bilkins has been viciously murdered in the home of wealthy Raymond Colby, where she worked as a housemaid. Mr. Chameleon has discovered that Colby had planned to marry Fanny in spite of the bitter protests of his son John and his daughter Laura. During the investigation, the murdered girl's father, Edward Bilkins, has disappeared from the Colby home. But an hour later, when Mr. Chameleon impatiently paces his office at headquarters, he suddenly finds that no general alarm was required to bring in Bilkins. for a strange surprise awaits him as Detective Dave Arnold rushes into his office saying...
Mr. Chameleon, they just brought in Fanny Bilkin's father in an ambulance.
In an ambulance, Dave?
He's got a knife cut straight down his left cheek. Mm. Didn't miss his throat by half an inch. But the ambulance doc patched him up on the way in, and now he's squawking loud to see you. He says...
Get him in here, Dave.
Come in, Bilkins.
Bilkins, what happened? Who tried to get you? Now get down to the point without wasting words.
Very good, sir. But it was a near one. Not satisfied with cruelly murdering my daughter, Fanny.
Who?
Raymond Colby. Well, I mean his son, John. But the fact is, I don't know for sure.
Where did the attack take place, Bilkins?
In the old Duffer's study, that's where.
What were you doing there?
Nothing, sir, nothing. Just nosing around.
It won't do, Bilkins. Out with it.
Mr. Chameleon, here's a bag the boys took off Bilkins on the way in.
Give it to me, Mr. Copper. I never seen it before. Fanny gave it to me.
Looks like about $500,000 in jewels, Bilkins. And they look familiar. Very familiar.
But I don't know anything about them.
Dave, put Bilkins on detention. I got the answer to this case.
Look here, Chameleon, I got rights. Those jewels were planted on me.
Come along, Bilkins. Killed your own daughter, did you? I'll be right back, Mr. Chameleon.
Right on. Hello?
Mr. Chameleon, this is John Colby.
Yes?
Most of my dead mother's jewelry has been stolen.
Who discovered the loss, John?
Our butler did. Caught the robber in the act, but he got away. Can you come out here right away?
Not just now, John. You said only part of your mother's jewelry was stolen?
The butler came in the room just in time to save the rest.
I have got the stolen jewels, John. And the robber, too.
You've got the jewels and the robber both?
I'm pretty positive I have, John. But I want to make sure before I definitely charge the man that we're holding.
Well, what do you mean, Mr. Chameleon?
Instead of coming myself, John, I'm going to send one of our expert jewel men out there. And he'll bring the jewels I have here out, too, for identification.
I wish you'd come yourself, Mr. Chameleon, instead of... What's that, Father? All right, I'll ask Mr. Chameleon. Sorry, Mr. Chameleon, but Father suggests...
Yes?
Father's worried about anybody coming but you, Mr. Chameleon. And so is my sister, Laura. Can't you come yourself?
I'm sorry, I'm not a jewel expert. I'm sending our head man, Pierre Antoine, out right away. And then I'll follow later. Goodbye, John.
What's all that about, Mr. Chameleon? Are you going out to Colby's in disguise?
Right you are, Dave. Disguised as Pierre Antoine, the police department's chief man on jewels. Now, you will come with me. And the instant we get there and you introduce me, arrest John and Laura Colby on my orders.
Well, orders are orders, but I don't get you, Mr. Chameleon. Why not pinch them and be done with it?
Because I need the evidence I think their father, Raymond Colby, will give me, Dave.
And so, a little later, we find Detective Arnold with Mr. Chameleon in his disguise as Pierre Antoine at the murder house, as Dave Arnold says.
Evening, everybody. This gentleman is the police department's jewel expert. Mr. Chameleon sent him out.
Pierre Antoine at your service. You, Mr. Raymond Colby, monsieur?
Yes, Mr. Antoine. This is my daughter, Laura, mademoiselle.
How do you do?
And my son, John.
Monsieur Jean. May we all sit down? Or perhaps you, Mademoiselle Laura, will be so kind as to bring the remaining jewels from the robbery for me to see?
Sorry, Monsieur Antoine, but Mr. Chameleon ordered me to arrest this lady and her brother and bring them back to headquarters.
That is absurd, Detective Arnold. Surely Mr. Chameleon is making a mistake.
Mr. Chameleon is a fool.
We won't go, Laura. Detective Arnold can't arrest us without a warrant.
Here's the warrant, John. Better come quietly.
John, you can only cause yourself and Laura trouble by not going with Detective Arnold.
But, Father...
You've got the right idea, Mr. Colby. Now, come on, John and Laura. No point getting tough about it.
My compliment to Mr. Chameleon, Detective Arnold. And be good enough to express my opinion that he is making a most stupid blunder. Arresting two such charming young people.
Stupid or not, I'm taking them, Monsieur Antoine. Good night.
Good night. Oh, dreadful contretemps, Monsieur Colby. I thought better of that chameleon. But there is your police mind.
Mr. Antoine, did you bring the jewels recovered from the man who robbed my safe?
In this very bag, Monsieur Colby. The robber was the father of the housemaid murdered here today. Your fiancé, I'm told.
Hand over those jewels, chameleon.
What?
Shut up, chameleon. I'm doing the talking now. Give me that bag, quick. They're the only evidence you've got that I killed that infernal housemaid, Fanny Bilkins. Now let's have them.
When I take you in, Raymond Colby, it'll be for two murders. But, anyway, here are the jewels.
You're not taking me in.
No?
By the time they find your body, chameleon, I'll be out of the country. Got any last wishes, cop?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to tell you how I caught up with you, Raymond Colby.
I'm interested, but hold your gab to 3 minutes.
Through a careful study of police records extending from New York to Sydney, Australia. You murdered the woman who owned those jewels, Lady Ashton Burl, in Australia 5 years ago.
That's past history, chameleon, but suppose I did.
The one living man who knew you did was your murdered housemaid's father, a petty criminal named Ed Bilkins. And he followed you here, forced you to hire his daughter Fanny as a maid in your house, and then blackmailed you into a promise to marry her with your mysteriously and criminally acquired wealth.
Anything else, chameleon? You've got 30 seconds left.
Only this, Raymond. Don't move, Colby. You hear me, Colby? I said don't move. That's odd. He doesn't answer. Colby? What? Oh, why did I have to become a policeman? Police headquarters? This is Chameleon. Connect me with Detective Arnold, please. Dave? Listen, Dave. Send the dead wagon out, please. Yes, the dead wagon. Well, I'm afraid I killed a man. Yes, the murderer of Fanny Bilkins. I hit a fatal spot by mistake. I know, Dave, it's all in the line of duty, but still...
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. Have you ever tried breaking an aspirin tablet to give your children the dosage your doctor has prescribed? If you have, then you'll appreciate the new children's-size Bayer aspirin tablets. These tablets are genuine Bayer aspirin, but they contain only half the amount of the regular-size Bayer aspirin tablets, and thus you can give your child the proper dosage as prescribed by your physician, and you can do it conveniently. And because they're made so you can break them right in half, it's also easy for you to give still smaller dosages whenever necessary. Another thing you'll appreciate is that they're uncolored and unflavored and therefore cannot be mistaken for candy. And you can use them with confidence. For the fact that doctors prescribe Bayer aspirin, single active ingredient, even for the smallest children, shows how gentle and dependable it is. The bottle and carton are plainly marked, children's size Bayer aspirin. 30 tablets for 25 cents. Listen next Wednesday night at this same time for Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, in The Greenhouse Murder Case. The part of Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson, with dialogue by Frank Hummert, from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert, music directed by Victor Arden. The members of our cast join with our sponsors in wishing all their listeners a Merry Christmas. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
Scientific studies show that the only sensible way to help prevent tooth decay is to keep your teeth thoroughly clean at all times. This is because teeth that are free of decay breeding deposits and film actually resist decay. And to clean them, use powder. For there's nothing you can get that cleans teeth like powder. Thanks to its remarkable cleaning power, Dr. Lyons tooth powder almost instantly helps remove deposits and film in which bacteria form. Bacteria that cause...
This is Sebastian. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford Tubbs Freeform Radio. This is a PSA. Why not cover your computer camera? If you have a computer with a webcam and you don't use it, why not cover the camera up with a piece of opaque tape? In addition to government programs, there's plenty of other malware and viruses that can hijack the computer's camera to spy on you. So if you don't use it, consider covering it up. A message in the public interest from WMFO and Medford Tufts Educational Radio.
Thank you, Sebastian. My name is Arthur, and like he indicated, this is 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, and or WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio. My show went from 6 a.m. to 5 a.m., but I got some trainees in here, so I appreciate anybody who is actually listening right now until you figure out when I'm back on. Thanks. Actually, I'm going to play The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. It's had an original air date of the 6th of November, 1938.
The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, starring Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. The makers of Grove's Bromo Quinine Tablets bring you another adventure of Sherlock Holmes with Basil Rathbone as Sherlock Holmes and Nigel Bruce as Dr. Watson. A cold is a miserable thing. A cold may become a dangerous thing. Even a so-called light cold can take a serious turn. Be prompt, be decisive in your treatment of a cold. At the very first sign of a cold, take Grove's Bromo Quinine Tablets. Bromo Quinine Tablets quickly check the symptoms of a cold, quickly relieve the distress of a cold. They give you speedy results, which are very important. Don't monkey around when you can get such a dependable preparation as Grove's Bromo Quinine Tablets. And now, here we are again on our usual visit to Dr. Watson. He's waiting for us in his study, a cheerful blaze crackling on the hearth.
I'm very relieved to see you, Mr. Manning. Hasn't the weather been atrocious today? I was beginning to wonder if you'd be able to get here tonight through all this fog.
Yes, it certainly is what you Londoners call a regular pea super.
Yes, indeed. It reminds me of the adventure of the missing submarine plans, a case that was solved in the underground.
Underground?
What you Americans call a subway.
Yes, but what has a solution in a subway got to do with a foggy night?
Well, you see, the affair started in weather exactly like this. It was the third week in November, the year 1895, to be exact. On Monday, a dense yellow fog had settled down upon London. On Thursday, it was still there, thickier and murkier than ever. At first, Holmes had turned his nervous energy to cross-indexing his huge reference books. But when, after pushing our breakfast chairs back for the fourth morning, we saw the greasy brown swirl still drifting past the windows, Holmes's patience snapped. Holmes, if you must pace around in circles, I wish you'd change directions now and then. You're making me dizzy.
Bah! It's inexcusable, Watson, inexcusable. No initiative, no imagination. Nothing ever gets done.
If you're alluding to the inactivity in this last session of Parliament, my dear Holmes...
I'm not speaking of our lawmakers, Watson, but of our lawbreakers. The London criminal is certainly a dull fellow.
What makes you say that?
Well, look out of the window. Ideal weather for committing a crime. The criminal advances on his intended victim practically unseen. He pounces! And disappears into thin air.
There have been numerous petty thefts,
ah,
I believe.
Petty thefts. Pickpockets, ragamuffins. What's the country coming to? Now, if I were a criminal, Watson...
Well, I, for one, would move to America.
Oh, hello, hello. Mrs. Hudson's knocking, excited. What's up, I wonder? Yes, Mrs. Hudson, what is it? Oh, a telegram for me.
Yes, sir.
Very well, thank you.
Oh, well, what's it say?
Well, wait until I open it, can't you? Ah, dear me, what next? Most unusual, Watson, most unusual.
What's most unusual, Watson? What's it say?
Well, it's from my brother, Mycroft. You remember him. He helped us solve the case of the Greek interpreter. He's coming here.
Why not? What's so phenomenal about
it? Why not? Why not, indeed? It's as startling as it would be to meet a tram car coming down a country lane. Yes, yes, now I come to think of it. Mycroft is rather like a tram car. His rails lead from his Pall Mall lodgings to the Diogenes Club in Whitehall. That's his circle. I wonder what upheaval could have derailed him.
Doesn't the telegram explain?
It says, must see you about Cadogan West coming at once.
Cadogan West? Cadogan West? Why, that's the young chap who's found dead in the underground on Tuesday morning. I remember reading about it in the papers.
Oh?
The young man had apparently fallen out of a train and killed himself. He hadn't been robbed, and there was no reason to suspect violence. Quite an uninteresting case, if I remember correctly.
And yet, it's serious enough to cause Mycroft to alter his habits. No, Watson. This must be an extraordinary event. Do you recall any other facts about the affair?
Yes, I come to think of it, there was one unusual bit about... came out of the inquest. They were unable to ascertain at what point he entered the train, because his ticket was missing.
Strange. What articles were found on the body?
Oh, £2.15, I believe it was, a checkbook and... Oh, yes, 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 two dress circle tickets for the Woolwich Theatre, dated for that evening.
Theatre tickets, eh? Then it wasn't suicide. A man doesn't procure theatre tickets for the evening on which he intends to end his life. Anything else?
A small packet of technical papers, I believe.
Technical papers? What kind of technical papers?
The newspapers didn't say.
Ah, as serious as that. What did the young man do? Where was he employed?
He was a clerk at Woolwich Arsenal.
Ah, government employee. There we have it, Watson. British government, Woolwich Arsenal, technical papers. That's why Mycroft is involved in this affair.
I don't understand.
No, I suppose not. Watson, have I ever told you what Mycroft is?
Your brother, of course.
Oh, no, 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 Watson. Do you have to be so dense? I mean, do you know what he does?
Hmm? I seem to have some vague recollection that you once told me that he'd held some small office under the British government.
It would be more accurate to say, in a way, that he is the British government.
What?
His position is unique. He made it for himself. He has the tidiest and most orderly brain of any man alive, with a great capacity for storing facts and giving them the proper interpretation. The conclusions of every government department are passed on to him. He's the central exchange, the clearinghouse. Again and again, his word has decided the national policy. He thinks of nothing else. Nothing else can lure him from his contemplations.
And yet he's coming here.
Yes, Jupiter is descending on us today.
What on earth can happen?
Watson, that sounds suspiciously like a bad pun. Ah, here he is, if I'm not mistaken, to speak for himself. Come in, come in. Hello, Mycroft. What's up? What's up? You look flustered.
Most annoying business, Sherlock. Most annoying. You know how I dislike altering my habits. Extremely awkward for me to come away from the office, particularly with Siam in its present state. Oh, dear me.
Yeah, sit down, Mycroft. Sit down. You know Watson, of course.
Yes, of course. I'm trying to find a chair that I can trust to hold me.
Yeah, I'd better take the sofa. You certainly haven't got any thinner.
I've never seen the Prime Minister so upset. As for the Admiralty, it's buzzing like an upset beehive. You know anything about the case?
Watson's just been telling me what was in the newspapers. Just what were the technical papers found on the body?
Sherlock, for the love of heaven, not so loud. Those papers which the wretched youth had in his pocket were none other than the plans of the Bruce Partington submarine.
Oh?
A submarine which will completely revolutionize naval warfare. The most important papers in our government archives. Under no circumstances could they be removed from the office. Even the chief constructor of the Navy was forced to go to Woolwich if he desired to consult them.
And yet we find them in the pockets of a dead junior clerk in the heart of London. Yeah, from an official point of view, it's deplorable, my dear Mycroft. Simply deplorable.
You may laugh, Sherlock, but this country won't be safe until they are recovered.
But I thought you said that they were found in the pocket of this chap, Cadogan West.
10 papers taken from Woolwich. 7 were found in the pockets of Cadogan West. 3 are still missing, the 3 essential ones. To recover those 3 papers is imperative. The peace of Europe depends on
it. Nice little problem, eh, Watson? Why did Cadogan West take the papers? How did he die? How did his body reach the place where it was found? And where are the missing papers?
Find the answer to those questions, Sherlock, and you'll have done your country an invaluable service.
Why don't you solve it yourself, Mycroft? I believe you could.
Possibly. But it's a question of digging out details. Give me the details, and I can give you the solution from an armchair. No, when it comes to running about and cross-questioning railway guards and lying on one's face with a lens to one's eye... No, that's not my métier.
Besides, your figure prevents your taking such an undignified position, eh? Very well. Leave that part of it to us, eh, Watson?
Right you are.
Good. I've got a cab waiting outside to take the place where the body was found. I can give you the details on the way.
Now, Mycroft, who was the official guardian of these famous papers?
No less a personage than Sir James Walter, a gentleman who's grown gray in the service. His patriotism is beyond suspicion.
A bachelor, if I'm not mistaken, lives with his brother.
Yes. He was at the house of Admiral Sinclair at Berkeley Square during the whole of the evening when this accident occurred. The Admiral vouches for him. He's one of the two who have the only keys to the safe.
And his key was with him all evening?
Right. His key, the key to the building, and the key to the room.
Who was the man with the other key?
The senior clerk, Mr. Sidney Johnson. A man of 40, married, silent, morose, with an excellent service record.
Any alibi?
He, too, had his key with him. Seems to have spent the evening playing a game of draughts with a green grocer around the corner from his lodgings. Of course, he has only the word of this green grocer to back him up.
Oh, come, my dear Mycroft. No class discriminations, please. The word of a green grocer is often just as good as that of an admiral. But what about Cadogan West?
He had a good reputation. A bit hot-headed, but straight and honest. At least, everyone thought so. He was next to Sidney Johnson at the office. His duties brought him into daily personal contact with the plans. No one else ever had the handling of them.
Oh, that's perfectly clear. He must have taken...
Ah, not so fast, Watson, not so fast. Who locked them up that night?
Mr. Sidney Johnson.
Ah. They were of value, commercially, I mean.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt that West could have got several thousands for them very easily.
And yet, only a small amount of money was found on the body.
Perhaps the buyer took it back after he'd murdered West.
Ah, what puzzles me is, how did West obtain possession of those papers? To do so, he must have had a false key.
Several false keys, Sherlock. He had to open the building and the room as well.
Oh, well, several false keys then. Let me see. Suppose West did take the papers and went into town. And on the way back to Woolwich, where he is hoping to replace the papers, he's killed and thrown from the train.
But the spot where the body was found is considerably past the station for London Bridge, which is the route to Woolwich.
Ah, that's interesting. Also, if young West did make an appointment with some foreign agent to sell the papers that night, why didn't he keep the evening clear? Why buy two theater tickets?
Exactly. Furthermore, he actually escorted his fiancée halfway there before he disappeared.
A blind. That's what it looks like to me.
Why did he take the papers at all? Why not copy them out in the office and sell the copies? He certainly had plenty of opportunity to do so. And why the absence of his underground ticket?
Perhaps the ticket would have shown us which station was near the agent's house. So the murderer destroyed it.
Good, Watson. Very good. And yet... I wonder.
Well, here's the underground station. The railway authorities have sent a man round to show you the exact place where the body was found.
You won't change your mind and come with us?
Well, crawling round that black hole on my hands and knees, not very likely. Well, I shall expect a report on your efforts this evening.
I never expect too much, Mycroft. Never expect too much.
Before we follow Holmes and Watson into the mazes of the London subway system, I have a word of advice. Every year, colds cause a lot of sickness. Every year, they cause a lot of expense and time lost from work. Always regard a cold seriously. Always treat it earnestly. At the first sign of a cold, take Groves bromoquinine tablets. Bromoquinine tablets are famous relief for the distress of a cold. Their efficacy has been fully established. Bromoquinine tablets go right to work on a cold symptom. They don't waste any time. They don't pull any punches. They quickly relieve the misery of a cold. They help reduce the fever of a cold. Thousands of people keep bromoquinine tablets handy all winter. Thousands of people depend on them as their relief for colds. No other preparation enjoys greater confidence than bromoquinine tablets. Follow the example of millions, and at the first sign of a cold, take Groves bromoquinine tablets. Get them at any drugstore, a few cents a box. Ask specifically for Groves, Groves, Bromo, Bromo, Quinine, Quinine, Groves, Bromo, Quinine tablets.
way, sir. Step right along the tracks.
But it isn't safe. Supposing a train should come shooting round that curve.
Oh, that's all right, sir. There won't be another for 5 minutes anyway. Here we are, sir. This is where they found the body. Right here alongside the rails. Lying on its face, it was.
Spooky old place, eh, Holmes? Like the catacombs, only without the skeletons.
Yeah. Anything in his hands when they found him?
No, sir.
Were they clenched? Or spread out as if he were protecting himself?
No, sir. They was what you might call relaxed.
Ah. What time did all this happen?
Well, sir, the train he was hoisted out of, as near as we can figure, passed along here about midnight on Monday.
All the carriages have been examined for signs of violence, I suppose.
They didn't find nothing, not even the missing ticket. There was a passenger to Aldgate on the ordinary train, about 11:40 it was. He said he'd heard a heavy thud, like something striking the line, just before the train reached this station. But it was so foggy, he said he was blessed if he could see what it was.
Holmes, what's the matter? What are you staring at?
The curve, Watson.
What
curve of the rails.
What of it? What do you mean?
I suppose there aren't many curves as abrupt as this.
No, sir, I can't say as there is.
What have curves got to do with it?
Oh, an indication, Watson. Merely an indication. Unique. Perfectly unique. And yet, why not? I don't see any indications of bleeding on the line.
No, sir, there wasn't any to speak of.
But I understand there was a considerable wound.
The bone was crashed right enough.
Holmes, you hear that? It's a train. It's coming this way.
Run, sir. Run for your life.
Yes, yes, but where?
Up ahead. There's a place where the train switches off.
Run, Watson, run. It's just around the curve.
We'll never make it.
Yes, we will. Faster.
There's the switch up ahead. Come on.
Here comes the train now.
We'll make it. Ah, just in. Watson, for the love of heaven. You're on the wrong track.
Well, that was a narrow escape, Holmes. I must say my knees are still shaking. Look at the shoulder of my coat where you pulled at me.
Lucky thing for you that I did.
Where are we off to now in this fog?
Yes, it's a nice afternoon. Suppose we pay a few calls. I think Sir James Walter claims our first attention. After that, we might drop in on Miss Westbury.
Miss Westbury? Who's she?
She is Cadogan West's fiancée and the last person to see him alive.
Holmes, we seem to be going around in circles. We've accomplished absolutely nothing so far except to get ourselves nearly annihilated in the underground. After all, it's perfectly obvious that the young man had a quarrel with someone, in all probability the agent, to whom he sold the papers, and got himself thrown out of the railway carriage for his pains.
I disagree with you, my dear Watson. His body fell from the roof of the carriage where it had been placed. Cadogan West met his death elsewhere.
The roof of the train?
Consider the facts, Watson. A. The curve in the tracks. The body is found at a spot where the train pitches and sways as it comes around the points. B. There was no ticket. C. There were no signs of bleeding on the line because the body had bled elsewhere.
Of course. Everything fits together, but where was the body placed on the train?
I think I can make a fair guess at that, my dear Watson. Here we are. This is the famous official villa of Sir James Walter. And that, if I'm not mistaken, is his brother, Colonel Valentine, just coming out of the house.
What's the matter with the man? He looks positively haunted.
Oh, pardon me, Colonel Valentine, but can you tell me if Sir James is at home?
Sir James, sir? Sir James is dead.
Good heavens, dead?
He died this morning. It's terrible. Terrible.
How did he die?
Oh, it's this horrible scandal. My brother, sir, was very sensitive of his honor. He couldn't survive the disgrace to his department. It broke his heart. Pardon me, gentlemen, I must go. It broke his heart.
Most appalling development. Eh, Holmes?
I wonder if his death was natural, or if the poor fellow killed himself.
Yes?
Will you tell Miss Westbury that Mr. Sherlock Holmes would like to see her?
Oh, please come in, gentlemen. I'm Violet Westbury, Mr. Holmes. I've been expecting you ever since I heard you had taken the case. Please be seated.
Well, thank you.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, we must save his good name. He couldn't have done it. Cadogan was the most chivalrous, patriotic gentleman on earth. He couldn't have done it. He would have cut his right hand off rather than sell a state secret.
But the facts, my dear Miss Westbury.
I admit I can't explain them.
Was he in need of money?
No, Mr. Holmes. His needs were simple and his salary very good. He'd saved several hundred pounds. We were to be married at the new year.
I see. Had you noticed any signs of mental excitement?
Why, well, that is...
Come, Miss Westbury, be frank with us.
Yes, Mr. Holmes. Oh, that night, I had a feeling that there was something on his mind.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it, will you?
We were on the way to the theater. It was a foggy night, you remember? We were walking slowly. Our way took us close to his office. Cadogan seemed thoughtful and worried. Tell me about it. Perhaps I can help.
It's no use, Vi. It's too serious for me to talk about, even to you.
You know, sometimes, Caddy, I feel just the least little bit jealous of that old job of yours, when you're cooped up in that building all day.
Oh, now you're not going to be jealous of a building.
Well, not really. But it is funny to think of a husband having secrets he can't tell his wife.
Mighty important secrets, I can promise you. There's one in particular that any foreign spy would pay good money to get hold of.
How thrilling.
Well, I don't know. They're awfully slack about some things over there in that building, Violet. What's too slack? It would be too confounded easy for a traitor to get his hands on those plans.
What plans? Oh,
never mind, darling. I guess I'm getting a bit melodramatic. But there's something been worrying me. Hello, what's that?
What's what?
Over there, that shadow moving along the side of the building. It's a man. So that's it. I always suspected...
Oh, what's the matter? You're so excited. What's wrong?
Stay here, Violet. There's something I have to find out. Stay here.
I waited and waited, but he never returned. Oh, Mr. Holmes, if you could only save his honor. It meant so much to him.
We shall do our best, Miss Westbury. This shadow, this man moving along the building, did you see it too?
I think I did, Mr. Holmes. But the night was so foggy, I can't be sure. But there must have been a man. Another man. It couldn't have been Cadogan. Surely character goes for something.
Let us hope so. Come along, Watson. We must return home. I'm expecting an answer to some telegrams I sent Mycroft early this afternoon. We've done enough for one day.
Holmes, where have you been all day? You left this morning before I was up. Now you've come home with your towel awry, your suit torn, and as ravenous as a wolf.
Yes, I've had a bit of exercise, my dear Watson. Pass me the tongue, will you? It would have done you good to go along.
Yes, what were you doing?
Investigating the premises inhabited by foreign spies known to have been in London on last Monday. Mycroft sent me a list of them. Took a bit of doing, too. Climbing walls, breaking into cellars, prowling around rooftops.
Well?
I discovered there was only one residence which had the proper facilities for disposing of West's body after the murder.
Well, whose residence was that?
It belongs to a Hugo Oberstein. The address is 13 Caulfield Gardens, Kensington. The gentleman himself has departed for Europe.
Gone, has he? If he took the plans with him, it's too late.
Not necessarily, Watson.
What can we do now?
We're going to keep a rendezvous with the gentleman who stole and sold those plans. The assignation will take place at Mr. Oberstein's house this evening at 9.
What the deuce are you talking about?
These newspaper clippings. I found them in the drawer of Hugo Oberstein's desk. Read them.
The Daily Telegraph agony column. The first one says, too complex for description, must have full report, terms agreed to, payable when goods delivered. Signed, Pirro. Piero, indeed. Sounds like a Mardi Gras.
Now, read on, Watson. Read on.
Second goes, matter presses must withdraw offer unless contract completed. Piero again.
And the last? Dated Monday, the day the crime was committed.
Monday night after 9, two taps, payment in hard cash. I say, do you think it was a submarine that the plans that he was buying?
I'm almost positive. And Piero was Oberstein himself. But we'll find out for certain this evening. I've invited the gentleman who sold the papers to meet us.
How? I don't understand.
I inserted this advertisement in today's Daily Telegraph. Tonight, same hour, same place, two taps, vitally important. Your own safety at stake. Signed, Piero, as usual.
By George, if he answers that, we've got him.
Unless we're too late. Come along, Watson. There's no time to lose. You can take this package for a change. I've been carrying it around all day.
What's in it?
Oh, just a jemmy, a dark lantern, a chisel, and a revolver.
Nice equipment for a respectable citizen to be carrying about the streets of London, I must
say. Yeah, you know, Watson, there are times when I suspect we aren't quite respectable. Here we are. This is Caulfield Gardens.
Thank heavens, it's still foggy. I shouldn't like to be caught in the act of housebreaking.
Yeah. Oh, this wall, Watson. There's a window we can easily pry open in the back.
Scale that wall?
Oh, come on, hurry up, hurry up. There's no time to lose. Here. I'll give you a boost. Come on, up here. That's it. Look out, here I come.
I must say, Holmes, you're as agile as a cat. It's uncanny.
This is the window. Light the lantern and give me the jemmy.
One. Two.
Mr. Holmes, the underground runs right past here, almost on the level of these windows. I could have reached out and touched it.
Yes, quite convenient, wasn't it? It was here the body was placed on the roof of a train. Look out of this, look on this windowsill. You can see the soot is blurred where they rested the body. And here, look here, look, look. This brown stain is blood.
Nasty, eh, Holmes? Let's get on to the house.
Very well, then. Come along, come along. The window's open. Easy, easy, don't break the glass.
Supposing Uncle Steen should happen to return home?
Well, we must take our chances in this business. Come along, Watson, come along. Our visitor will expect to be let in by the front door.
I wish these stairs didn't squeak so.
9 o'clock. We can expect him at any moment now. You take your position on one side of the door. I'll be on the other. We can pounce on him when he enters. I'll throw my greatcoat over his head.
Oh, well, I wish he'd hurry.
Shh, Watson.
Well, what if he doesn't come?
There he is. Ready now. I'll open the door.
You wanted me?
No, you don't. Take that!
What the... Easy, Watson, easy.
All right, Holmes, I've got him.
Well, let's take a look at our catch. Take the overcoat away, Watson.
Right. Hi, it's Colonel Valentine Walter, Sir James's brother.
Quite. Well, sir, what have you to say for yourself? Why did you steal the Bruce Partington plans?
Who are you? What do you know about this?
I am Sherlock Holmes, and I know everything.
Oh, this is terrible. I'm lost. I didn't realize their importance until my brother killed himself. But I needed the money. I had to have it. Oberstein offered to give it to me if I'd let him see the plans.
So you took an impression of your brother's key, opened the safe, and procured the papers. Cadogan West saw you leaving the building, followed you here, and you killed him.
No, I didn't do that. I swear I didn't do it.
No? Then perhaps you'd better tell us who did murder Cadogan West and placed him on the roof of the railway carriage.
I'll tell you. I promise you I will. I did the rest. I confess it, but not that.
Very well, then. How did it happen?
I got the papers, as you've discovered, made my way through the fog until I reached the door. Once or twice, I fancied I was being followed. I could hear footsteps on the pavement behind me.
Colonel Walter?
Yes?
You have the papers?
Yes. Let me in, quick. I think someone's been following me.
Yes, it's me. You can't do this, Valentine. It's treason.
Corey, do you hear?
No. You can't sell the papers, Valentine. I won't let you.
They shall see.
Look out, West.
Take that. How do you like that, my impetuous young friend? Papa Oberstein, he knows how to use a blackjack, eh?
You've killed him.
So?
It's murder.
Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in, and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
He will be the guilty one. Who will ever know? The underground train, no? He will be the guilty one. Who will ever know?
What a thoroughly unpleasant gentleman. What a pity that he got away with the papers, Dr. Watson.
Oh, but he didn't. Oberstein had left a Paris forwarding address with Colonel Walters. That gentleman sent him a letter dictated by Holmes, saying that he had discovered that one essential detail in the plans was missing, and that he had procured a tracing which would make it complete for a price.
And did Oberstein swallow the bait?
Did he swallow it? He was arrested as he got off the boat at Folkestone. Some weeks later, I learned, incidentally, that Holmes had spent a day at Windsor Castle and returned with a remarkably fine emerald tie pin. When I asked him where he got it, he answered it was just a small present from a certain...